Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord have made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I come to you to want to say greetings to all of you in Radio Land. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. I'm talking about all of my covenant prayer partners all around the world, there in the Philippines and Africa and all over. I just want you to know that God loves you with an everlasting love. And don't you dare give up. Today is your day to trust and believe God and expect Him to bless you. Expect Him to come through on your behalf. And He will do that. All you have to do is believe and trust Him with your whole heart, mind, and soul. On today, I would like to invite your attention to, we're going to be talking about wisdom and speaking wise words. We're going to be looking at the scripture from Proverbs, and we're going to look at what the word of the Lord is saying. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter number 12, and we're going to be looking at verse number 6, 13, 19, and then we're going to skip, and then 22, then we're going to skip over to chapter number 18, and we're going to look at verse number 4, verse 6 through 8, and verse number 21. And so we're going to look at what the Lord is saying about speaking wise words. And it's crucial for us as people of God because the power of life and death is in our tongue. And he that loveth will eat the fruit thereof. And so we want to be cognizant or sober in our mind or thoughtful of the things that we're saying because it will have great recompense of reward or it will bring forth the fruit, whether it's a fruit of life or it could be a fruit of death. And so it's important for us to be mindful of the things that we say. So let's look here. God has placed power in the tongue. God's wisdom in our heart allows us to speak life-changing words. So let's take a look here. The words of the wicked, over in Proverbs 12, verses number 6, it reads, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." Verse 13, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble." Verse 19, "The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." 22, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they shall deal truly, but they that dwell, deal truly are holy light. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellsprings of wisdom as a flowing brook." Number 6, and this, now we're reading out of chapter number 18 of Proverbs. "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." Verse number 7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snares of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wound and go down into the innermost part of the belly." Now, this is the key. "The death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Now, we're going to examine that today because it's so crucial for us as children of God to recognize the things that we are saying have great important and it's very significant as what we speak and say. And so let's take a look at the word on today in our lesson. Words can be a powerful agent of change and direction. We must recognize that even after the Duke of Ellington, the Prime Minister Winston Churchill, lifted his nation out of the depression of defeat by the power of his words to what was indeed their finest hour. In similar matter, there is much truth in the statement, we get what we preach. While not everyone who hears will change, many will be shaped for good or for evil by the words that they hear. And so here it is, it's pointing out again that it's important about the words that we speak and the words that even you hear. And so sometimes you cannot subject yourself to a lot of things that is going to bring death, oppression, depression down in your spirit. You need to move yourself away from that. It says, various humorous sayings has arisen to describe some problems with words. Some people refer to the tongue as a little red devil behind the pearly white gates. Others make the excuse that the tongue is liable to the slip because it's always in a wet place. No matter how many cute sayings may exist, the fact remains that the use of the tongue affects the quality of one's life and also has the power to influence others. Now, I want to go back there and let us look at that again because it's key, and I want you to get it because this is a key principle, and I want you to get a piece of paper and write this down because it's key to your future. And what I want you to write down is the use of my words affects the quality of my life. Also, it has the power to influence others. And I will repeat that because I want you to get it. It is very key. The use of my words affects the quality of my life. And it has the power to influence others. So I want you to keep that down in your heart, because that is key, and I want you to look at that daily and think, even if you have to change the words that you speak. Now, let's look here. Watch the words of the wicked. The words that people speak indicate the condition of their heart, Matthew 12:34. What is down in the well comes up in the bucket. If a rodent fall into a well, it may not be possible to lift one out of the whole carcass, but its essence will be in each one of the bucketfuls. Likewise, what lies in the heart may not be completely revealed in a conversation, yet the essence of the spirit and attitude will soon manifest itself. So what's down in your heart will manifest itself. It may not come up the first time out of a conversation, but it will manifest itself. They lay wait for blood, and this is one of the scriptures over in Proverbs 6:12 and verse 6. The word of the wicked are to lay in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Although it may not be evident, the everyday action, violence, sometimes lie hidden in the heart of an individual. The great-grandfather of Bathsheba harbored a hatred of David in his heart for many years, just awaiting the opportunity to strike out at the king. When Absalom arose in his rebellion against his father, he was acting out of what was in his grandfather's heart. He saw an opportunity to strike under the banner of usurp and authority. His word revealed the murderous intent that had been concealed in his thought. Moreover, Absalom said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. And the man whom thou seekest is as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. Second Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. Now here we have this person that was in their heart, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba. He harbored the hatred in his heart against David because of what David had did to Bathsheba and to her husband. And so her grandfather wanted to kill David. And so when he seen the opportunity, when Absalom rose up, he said, oh, this is my opportunity to step up. And because of what he had harbored in his heart, to take David out anyway, so he seized the opportunity. And so we as people of God, we must watch what we allow in our heart. We must watch what we allow or look at, even in our eye gate, even at the television and even at sometimes even the movies. Some of the things that will go inside your eye gate can get into your heart. And when the opportunity comes, because it has already entered into your heart through your eye gate, unconsciously it has come in. And now as the opportunity comes, it will want to act on what it has seen or heard. So that's why we as children of God, we do not just allow anything to come in or look at anything or listen to anything. We must be careful, children of God, as what we listen to, what we look at as well. Now let's look here at this same man who was Bathsheba's grandfather. He did not want David. He did not just want David dead, but he plainly and repeatedly indicated that he wanted to be the agent in charge of the destruction. Thoughts and intent harbored in the heart long enough will eventually work their way into action. Grievances that have laid dormant for years may suddenly spring up to the lips as the restraint of a circumstances are loosed. And so that's why we just came out of a beautiful event, and we have them at our church called Encounters, where we go in and we deal with the things that are in our hearts and unforgiveness or anything that people have done against us, and we pray the prayer and things. So when opportunity or circumstances come and present themselves, we have already prayed and forgiven those had despitefully used this and spoke our matter of evil against us. But here, Bathsheba's grandfather didn't deal with those things. Now let's take a look. The bloodlust of the wicked is not a new or uncommon thing. One can trace their dripping footsteps through the ages of history and scriptures as well. And let's take a look at it. Number one, Solomon warned his son to avoid the desire for bloodshed. And we can find that over in Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 11 through verse number 19. Number 2, Isaiah noted that such people were present in his days, Isaiah 59 and 7. Number 3, Jeremiah had to contend with this same spirit of wickedness throughout his ministry, Jeremiah 5 and 26. Number 4, Micah had to fight the discouragement that pressed upon him because of high incidence of such people in the society of his day, over in Micah chapter number 7, verses 1 and 2. Wicked words and plans for destruction lurked in the tongues and hearts of Jesus' enemy. Words ununified, the polar opposites of the Pharisee and Herodians as they plotted to destroy Jesus. You can see that over in Mark 3 and 6. The scribes and the Pharisee became enraged because the miracles that Jesus performed were contrary to their interpretation of the law, causing them to join the plot of his demise, Luke 6 and 11. Bloodlust and bold injurious words can transport people beyond the realm of reality into a state of unrestrained madness. Now, look here. If you can allow, if an individual allow that unforgiveness in hatred and bitterness to stay in their heart, and that bloodlust and bold, insidious words of evil, it can lead you into a place of unrestrained madness. And that's why we must deal with those things that come up, forgiving those that did evil and trespassed against us, forgiving them is very vital and key and healthy to any individual, but more so even to the child of God, because we are up under sometimes, the child of God is under constantly attack, constantly bombardment of evil coming against them, because you're living right and striving to do what God is calling you to do and live a holy and a sanctified life. So when confronted with their wickedness, some people will deny their involvement. Despite the denial, it is often evidence to those who are near that our plot is afoot. See John 7, verses 19 through 20, John 25, John 10 and 39. These kind of people will well be described in terms similar to what Jacob was using concerning his son Dan. They are treacherous as a serpent by the way and adder in the path, Genesis 49 and 17. Although they tend to blend in with societal background, they are deadly and dangerous. After Paul's arrest, certain Jews plotted to kill him. You can see Acts chapter number 23, verse 12, Acts 15, verse 15. Also, Acts chapter number 25 and verse 3. People who plot evil seem to draw strength for their wickedness from their conversation and association with like-minded individuals. As in the days of Absalom, the gathering of cohorts added momentum to the plans and execution of wickedness. And that's why we can see people coming together plotting. It just gathers a momentum or a force because they're coming together and they allow that wicked conversation and association. It just attracts like-mindedness. And so we as children of God, we cannot, again, not allow no wickedness fester in our heart, even when offenses come in the church. When even words that may have spoken that was offensive to you, you must forgive that person because they may have been completely innocent of trying to mean good. But what the enemy will take even words and twist them because he is the prince and the power over the air. And so the enemy will twist that and make it sound like it's something else when in the intention of their heart really meant to treat do good. But the adversary, who is the prince of the power of this air, will twist that word. And so that's why we, even the more so, must forgive. Amen. Because the intention may have been right, but the prince of the power of the air taking the word and destroy. And that's why we worship and pray, so that we can create the atmosphere and take authority over the atmosphere. And that's why it's important for us to lift our hands, even in the house and even in our hand house, and just go through the house and just wave in our hand and say, Lord, let your will be done in my house. Let your kingdom come in our house. Because remember, when you lift your hands up in the air, you waving and doing warfare and you worshiping, praising God, because you defiling the prince of the powers of this world, even in the air wham, in the atmosphere. Whereas the prince of the power of the air, we can take authority by lifting our hands or speaking in the atmosphere. And that's why it's important to pray. When you pray, pray openly when you can. And you can't pray openly, but when you're in your home, pray openly, because the airway, again, the devil is the prince and the power of the airway. And so you can raise your hand and just say, God, I thank you that you are bold in this house. Or I thank you that you are one in this house. You are king. You are Lord, by inviting him. It said, let's go back to our lesson here. It said, while one alone might just grumble, and the accumulation of others, melancholy, creates a situation like that as is described in 2 Samuel 15 and 12. The conspiracy was strong for the people increased continually with Absalom. And so wickedness will have a sense of drawing itself. And so here we find that Absalom was stirring things up against his father. And then here come his great-grandfather, who is Bathsheba's grandfather. And here he was wanting to be the one that wanted to kill Absalom's father. And so we must recognize that evil and wickedness will multiply itself in things because they allow that to fester in their heart. And we must deal with our heart on a daily basis. Now, let's look at another key point. They are snared by their words. Proverbs 12 and 13. The wicked is snared by the transgressions of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Many people will be much better off if they would just refrain from speaking. Often criminals have been captured or convicted because they talked about their crime that they committed, especially while bragging in a bar or boasting to a cellmate in jail. Many times a fuss escalates into a fight because someone has to say just one more word. And many times if you just don't say that one more word, it can keep peace in your home or peace in relationship. And many times that's what happens. Someone always have to have the last word. But remember, that last word can set things aflame and send things, your household, your relationship, into the wrong direction. Now let's look in asking for eight of a shag. Abijah broke his parole and signed off on his death warrant. And we can see that over in 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse 23. Only a few injurious words revealed the insurrection in his heart and called down upon him the wrath of the king. His words not only put him on the wrong side of the king, but also the king of kings. And you can see that over in Psalms 5, verses 6. Psalm 64, verses number 2 through 7. Now let's look at that. We must be careful of our words because these words can cause us to come, allow the wrath of God to come down upon us. And so it's mindful of us to be careful of the things that we speak and the things that we do. It does not take a sharp lawyer asking leading question and warping the answer to ensnare many people with their own words. Out of the wicked heart arise wicked words that entrap the wicked. Evil speaking tends to fix evil thoughts more firmly in the hearts by the virtue of mere repetition. You can see Psalm 64 and 8, Proverbs 6 and 2. It is common for a situation to escalate because someone forced it with intentional words when a few shooting words would have brought peace. And so sometimes we have to use those soothing words that is going to bring peace and not escalate, even though we could go there and we have right to go there. But blessed are those that are the peacemakers because they shall see God. And think in terms, you don't have to have the last word. But guess what? You can bring soothing words to destroy the plan of the enemy. And let's look at that. Even the law of the land takes into account fighting words. People who might otherwise had avoided trouble often become embroiled in serious conflict by saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. So let's see. So we just looked at being snared by your words, and you want to be careful by not being snared by the word. And sometimes the Holy Ghost will say, don't say that. Don't go there, or don't even fight. Your opinion doesn't matter right now at this moment, because if you say your opinion, it can turn into a whirlwind of fire and just cause havoc and chaos. But if you allow God to orchestrate and allow God to flow through you and his words to flow through you and life and kindness flow through, it's going to soothe the matter and bring forth peace, especially those that are married, especially wives and things. You may be right, but to keep peace and unity, sometimes we have to say those soothing words that's going to bring calm soothing to the heart of our husband and the heart of that our one that we love. If you're in relationship and things, dating and things, say those right things that's going to, but next time God's going to provide an opportunity to share your opinion, but it won't be in that atmosphere of anger, madness, or flare of tempers, but it would be in a calm situation where God would allow the person to hear you. Because if you say it now, they're not going to hear you anyway. All they want is another word for you to say so that they can say what they want to say and just blow off so on you. So what you do is just hold that thought and that word. Now, let's look at another point. Their lying tongue is for a moment, Proverbs 12 and 19. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. One utter lie seems to take on a life of their own, and at times it seems as though they were prevailed over truth and righteousness. The big lie technique of Hitler Germany held sway for a number of years, but other nations that was inspired by truth finally overcame the evil regime. No matter how many people believe a lie, no matter how many sincerely they can cling to, truth will prevail in the end. God has promised that he will see to it that liars and their lies shall not prevail. Now, you can see that over in Psalms 52, verses 4 through 5, Proverbs 19 and verse number 9. The matter that Ananias and Sapphira provide a dramatic illustration of how quickly a lie may be discovered and punished. Acts chapter number 5, verses 1 through 10. We recognize that when they was asked of what they did, he lied and things, and his wife even lied. Both of them lied. And they told him, the man of God said, you didn't lie to me, but you lied to the Holy Ghost. And so sometimes you're not lying to your pastor, you're not lying to your leader, but you're lying, the lie is to the Holy Ghost, to God. And God knows the heart of all men, and he sees everything that is done in secret. So you're not lying to that individual, but you're lying to God. And so we must be very, very careful. And see, the problem was not that this couple did not give all the money that they have received from the sale of the property that was well with their power to decide. The difficulty arose from the fact that they did lie, representing a portion of the proceeds as all of it. In this case, the lying tongue was indeed but for a moment, as God judged both them by immediate death. And that's what happened. That was their life. The immediate death came upon them. And so it's important for us children of God and things to be mindful and things to do what is right and honest before God, because guess what? God sees and God knows. The man or woman of God is just the under shepherd. God is the shepherd, and he has an all-knowing eye, but he affords us opportunity to live right and to get it right through the vehicle of repentance, repenting of your sins, repenting and asking, confessing and asking God to forgive you. And that's why the encounter that we have at our church is so powerful and things, because it provides just that for God's people. Amen? Amen. So let's look here at another point. Their lips are abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 12 and number 22 we just read. God sees lying lips as disgusting. By using the term abomination, he assigns such falsehood to the same category as grievous sin, like the following: sodomy, Leviticus 18, verse 22, verse 20 and 19. Idolatry, Deuteronomy 7, chapter 25, chapter 12 and 31. Occult practices, Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12. Cross-dressing, Deuteronomy 22 and 5. Intentional miscarriage of justice, Proverbs 17. The civilized should build the law of their society on the foundation of truth. When lies are accepted, are the accepted moral attitude of society, disaster often results because individuals make evaluation based on wrong information. The United States Military Academy strongly stress an honor code that forbid lying or even tolerating those who lie. The obvious reason for this is due to the commander's need to receive accurate information in order to plan for a proper response to a threat or attack. In battle situations, false information could cause needless casualties. In the long run, self-serving reports based on lies eventually result in actions that are unhealthy for anyone involved. Only truth provides a proper foundation for making decisions in any era of life. The crooked book of corruption or even corporation are eventually discovered as overdone and leaves multitude of investors and employees burned. And we can see that even in our society today and things because of lies. Living a lie undermines the foundation of a marriage, even caused grief and disillusion. False doctrine leads people into an improper sense of security and requires either too little or too much of them. You can see Isaiah 44:20, Matthew 24 and 5, Matthew 11, 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Throughout the Bible, God repeatedly declared his hatred of lying, promising to judge liars harshly, Proverbs 5 and 6, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 17, Proverbs 11, verses number 1, Proverbs also 15 and 8, Isaiah 9 and 15, Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 8, Revelation 22 and verse 15. Now let's take a look. Welcome the word of wisdom. They are deep water experience. The words of a wise man's mouth are as deep water, and the wellspring of wisdom as the flowing brook. And you can find that over Proverbs 18, verse number 4. A wise person recognizes wisdom. Age alone does not produce wisdom, and a broad scope of experience does not always indicate that the wisdom is present. Information alone does not necessarily produce understanding. See Proverbs chapter number 26, verse 7 and verse 9. Some people just keep making the same mistakes in a different form and manifest their lack of gaining wisdom. When experience and understanding unite to produce wisdom, it opens a refreshing well that will satisfy many. So here, that experience coupled with understanding is going to produce wisdom. You'll see Proverbs 7, chapter number 10, verse 11, chapter number 13, verses 14, Proverbs 16 verses 22, also Proverbs number 20 verses number 5. An old adage advised that we should learn from the mistakes of others because we will not live long enough to make all of them ourselves. For the same reason, it is good to drink deeply from the wells of wisdom that spring up from the wise. So when you hear people bring in and sharing wisdom, that they have gone through that, so you can listen to their wisdom and learn so that you don't have to go down that path. You can see Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses number 16, and Colossians 4, verse number 6. There is no need to rediscover fire or reinvent the wheel. It is better to listen and learn from those who have already paid the price of suffering rather than pay a painful tuition for the same lesson. You can see Job chapter 28 and verse 18. One should note that among his spheres of influence who have been wellsprings of wisdom, they may have wellsprings of wisdom. If no one in that group can provide wise guidance, then it's time to change groups. When a person searches for a mentor, they should look for certain signs that indicate wisdom. A wise person who possesses good behavior is willing to share what he has learned and is modest in their method of teaching and leading. James 3, verses number 13. Sometimes lessons of wisdom are embedded in terms that are difficult to understand. However, it is well worth one's effort to probe through the layers of covering to behold the nugget of truth and wisdom delivered in carefully wrapped package. And so God many times put people around us that have that wisdom that can help us and that can undergird us and fortify. Now let's continue to look. They are as a flock, brook, pure. The words of the wise are not only deep, but they are also pure. Worldly wisdom results in strife, bitterness, and doubting because it is based on a faulty logic of carnal thinking. This wisdom is ungodly and subject to sensual pleasures and ultimately subjected to evil influences. You'll see James chapter number 3, verse 14 and verse 15. Now, in contrast, godly wisdom have no ulterior motive. Its aim are for right and goodness, and it is gentle as it strives for peace. One who is constantly stirring up trouble or making matters worse does not manifest godly wisdom. As profanity is an effort of a weak mind trying to express itself forcibly, so harshness of arguments is often the product of a weak argument trying to run roughshod over truth. Those who are truly wise are approachable because they are merciful and fair. See James 3:17. In this age of twisted logic, questionable motive, the words of the wise are refreshing and refuge from the snarling subtlety that passes from the modern day thinking. Now, let's look at another point as we move expeditiously through this, because this is some good stuff for us as people of God, as we hurriedly go through and listen to the word here. It said, now listen, warning for the wise. Let's look here. The fool's lips enter into contention and snares his soul. Now, see, this is key for us. It says here, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Proverbs 18 and 6. No matter how wise the person they consider themselves to be, they always conquer themselves, compare themselves with an object standard to see for sure that their action matched the appraisal. And see 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. If someone acts or speaks in an unwise way, then it's that he is not wise. Solomon gave some simple guidelines to distinguish between the wise person and the fool. Two major indicators he used are talk and anger, which often combine to further enforce the difference between the wise person and the fool. And you can read over in Proverbs chapter 14 and 3, Proverbs 16 and 27, verse 28, and Proverbs number 17, verse 14, and Proverbs 19 and 19, Proverbs 20 and 20, and verse number 3, Proverbs 27 and 3. As guardrails on a dangerous road provide the measure of security and protection, so Solomon was warning about stirring up strife with talk provides boundaries that alerts a person to territory that they should avoid. And so when you hear that, strife in the tongue, Speak in tongues. Okay, now I need to put up some guardrails, just like those guardrails that are on the street so people won't go off into the other lane or go off the side of the cliff. I don't want to go off the cliff right now. So I'm going to put some spiritual guardrails up to my mouth and things so I will not speak wickedness or strife will not come out of my mouth. And if you hear that wickedness and strife coming out of people's mouth, then that you might want to think about maybe I don't need to be in their company all the time and things and pray and then begin to pray for that person individual. Because remember what we said earlier in our show, that same type of wickedness will draw you in. And because if it's a little there, it's going to draw you in and suck you in. Because guess what? Wickedness loves wickedness. And it loves to have other people to build up that momentum for their wicked deeds. One of Solomon's warning spoke of the person's association. When an individual determines which people are out of control in their speech and emotion, he is to avoid close ties with them. Here it is. If you know somebody is just that person is out of control with their speech and their emotion, your job is to avoid that and not to be around them and find yourself caught up in that particular environment with them. It's up to you to move away from them. God will give you the power, and you need to break ties with them. The longer a person associates with such people, their lack of discipline becomes extremely contagious. See Proverbs 22. Verse 24 and 25. And that's why the Bible said, come out from among you and be ye separated. Because some people, that wickedness can be contagious and things if you're not strong enough. But when you around the people of God, that's where your strength. Once Solomon falls in the wrong crowd, unless the wrong of that crowd appeals to something that is within them. So you got to see what's appealing in you, what's drawing you to wickedness, what's drawing you to the one that is out of control and not doing the work in the will of the Lord. What's drawing you? And once you begin to look at you and figure out what is drawing you there, then you can begin to recognize that, oh, I need to give that to God so that I can be the woman or man of God that God has called me to be. To feel comfortable around angry people, one must have a corresponding anger within themselves. The association strengthens their own sense of anger and gives them more things to be anger them. If a person's anger remains unresolved, they often find something else to provoke their ire. The problem he is angry not is about the real problem, but the real problem is his anger or their anger. Now let's look. There are scriptures that is about and regarding anger. You can see that over in Proverbs chapter number 12, and write these down. Verse number 16, Proverbs 13, verse number 10, Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 3, and then also verse number 16 in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 16, verses number 27 through 28. Proverbs 17, verse number 14. Proverbs 19, verses number 19. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Proverbs 27, verse 3. This is talking about anger. Until a person conquered their anger, even in the Garden of Eden, it was pressed on state, would not satisfy them. As a canonically to warning regarding one's association, Solomon pointed out that domestic tranquility is greatly desirable. The number of square feet in a dwelling or the fineness of an appointment is not as critical as the attitude of those living within the confines. Now, it's key because it's horrible to live with someone who is enraged with anger and to have a bad attitude. It's horrible to live with someone like that. And this is what Solomon was talking about. There in the Garden of Eden was a place of peace and safety. But here, Solomon pointing out a contrast. And let's look at Proverbs 25 and verse 24. It said, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And so here he is saying, and talking about a brawling man as well, and things too, a brawling individual is better to be sitting on top of the house or the roof, on top of the rooftop, than to be in there with all that craziness and all of that anger and bitterness brewing out. And that's shaping your mind and shaping your spirit. And that's what Solomon was saying and things. But he would begin to say, you have to be careful of our association. And if you're around that type of an environment, you need to separate yourself, because if not, you're going to get me contagious. It's contagious. It'll get upon you. Solomon further gave us a definition, a distinction between wise and foolish women. Wise women buildeth her house, but a foolish pluck it down with her own hand. Proverbs 14 and 1. With women, as with men, it is possible to destroy valuable relationship by inappropriate and unseasoned criticism. There are times and situations when the best thing to do is to work around a problem that has no other solution. So if you don't see a solution, just work around the problem and things, as opposed to trying to tear it down and tear down that individual. That is not going to solve the problem. Just work around it and begin to talk about and highlight the things that you see that are a blessing and that can be a blessing. The writer declared, if a wise man contend with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Proverbs 29 and 9. So here it is, it's saying, a wise man that contendeth with the foolish, whether he's rage or laughing, there is no rest. And so it's saying that they may be contentious, they may not change. It says here, the writer declared, if a wise man contend, okay, some people will neither learn nor properly respond to instruction, no matter how much a person may approach them. Jesus faced the same type of problem in his ministry. See Matthew 11:16. So here he's saying that, you know, it led us to know that there are some people that just won't change. That, you know, you try to teach, you try to share and things, but there's some people have made up in their mind that they're not going to receive it. They're not going to hear from God. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5 points out the necessity of utilizing a proper approach when dealing with the foolish. Now, he let us know that if you answer a fool according to his folly, then you are the one that's going to come out disappointed. You are the one that's going to come out saddened because you answered a fool according to his folly. Don't even answer the question. If you know it's foolish and you know it's going to open a door, a great argument or a great battle or a great fight, don't even answer. And see, because it'll open a door that and you'll walk into a room of nothing but chaos. So don't even open that door. Amen? Another way to face the admonition of Solomon might be to say, be careful when arguing with a fool. Otherwise, people might not be able to tell the difference. Okay? They may not be able to tell who is the fool here. So you don't want to find yourself arguing with the fool. Yeah? Now let's look at another point. It says, the fool's mouth is destruction. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snares of his soul. Proverbs 18 and 7. Sometimes it seems that life operating instruction contains the following direction. Number one, open mouth. Number two, insert foot. Number two, chew vigorously. A slip of the tongue is quite different from the state of wickedness that result in a continual strewing of vileness. Cursing and railing proceed from an inner source of corruption. But the mouth serves as an indicator of the hatred of spiritual animosity that lies deeply within the individual. And here you can find that over in Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 2. Proverbs number 10 and 8. Proverbs number 10 and 14. Proverbs 12 and 13. Proverbs 13 and 3. In Ecclesiastes 10, verses 11 to 14. Both the Old and the New Testament use the term open sepulcher to describe the open mouth who's given to flattery and deceit. And you'll see that over in Psalms chapter 5, verse number 9, Romans 3 and verse 13. One should note that the atmosphere around an open sepulcher is degraded by the unseen decay within. Likewise, the speech of unwise or unseen inner decay defile the air aura of the wicked person. And so you can sometimes just see it upon them and things. And so we as children of God, we don't want that decay. We don't want that foolish mouth of destruction to be named among us as people of God. Now let's look at another point. This is a very good lesson. The fool's words cause deep wounds. Proverbs 18 and 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down deep into the innermost part of the belly. Proverbs 18 and 8. Now, this here, what you can find is that when women who have, or men who have dealt with domestic violence, especially verbal attack, and emotional attack, is those words of the talebearers that cause the wound down on the inward side. And they say it goes down into the innermost part of the belly. Sticks and stone may break my bones, but word can never hurt me. May be a true statement in the physical sense. However, words indeed, now here it is, I want you to hear this, can inflict deep mental and emotional and spiritual wounds. Often these wounds are hidden deeply within a person, and it is difficult to soothe or to heal them. The Bible describes the tongue and its words. Number one, it says, it is a sharp razor. Psalms 52 and 2. Number two, it says, a sharp sword. Proverbs 12 and 18. Number three, arrows. Proverbs 64 and 3. Number four, it is wood for fire. Proverbs 26, verse 20 through 21. Number five, the tongue can be wounds. Proverbs 26 and 22. Lying words can ruin the reputation of the innocent and even bring death in extreme circumstances. You can see that over in Leviticus 19 and 16. Improper words can stir up strife and put an end to a long relationship and friendship. Proverbs 16 and 28. Attempts at humor and practical joking are not an acceptable excuse for lying to a neighbor. Scripture compares such to an act of a man-made in his own most violently dangerous action. Proverbs 26 and 18. Because some people can laugh and be cussing you out in a laughing way or telling you off in a joking way and things, and meaning it from their heart and things. And so that's why the heart is so critical to be cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lamb and allow the peace of God to rule your heart and mind. But again, when you come through the encounter there that we have there at Shekinah, it is going to allow for your heart to be cleansed and for you to deal with all of those things that you perhaps through even in your life. And sometimes they come back in those tastes playing in your mind and your ear and your heart when you're striving to be holy and righteous before God. And we're going to have another encounter. We want you to come. Now, let's look here. The wonders of the words. Now, let's look here. The source of death. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that eat it shall eat the fruit thereof. Only God's word has true creative power, but the words also possess a power too as well. Improper speech can invite punishment even to the point of destruction. It can entangle injurious person in his own words. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. In extreme cases, foolishness can even result in death. Proverbs 10, 21. Critical speech is so discouraging that eventually some people despair and no longer attempt to do what is right. The tongue is the member of the body most closely aligned with forces of hell. It is beyond the control of the natural person, defiling a person within and without. See James 3, 6 and 7. And let me say right there, that's why when God fills an individual with the Holy Ghost, what he do, he uses their tongue, because their tongue is the measuring stick that God has taken full control over that individual's life, and that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, come in and abides in that individual life. When a person speak in tongues, it is an indication that God, not only did they get filled with the Holy Ghost, that's what we're looking for as the evidence, but also the most ultimate evidence in witnesses is that God has come into that individual life and taken his throne upon the heart of that individual, because their tongue has been given over to God. And that is a sign to the church that God is sitting on the throne of that individual heart. Not only that, but the words that come out of their mouth, it let us know that who is in control of that individual life. And so it's key for the individual to get the Holy Ghost and also speak the word of life. So you see how that works. It's profound. When allowed to employ its destructive side, now we're talking back about the tongue. The tongue can wreak havoc by discouraging others, spreading rumors, telling lies, destroying reputation, even bringing to the point of destroying themselves. Words have an effect not only upon those who hear it, but they also is a result in the judgment upon the individual who speaks them. Matthew 12 and 37. So not only are you speaking death, that individual can speak death, but they also can speak judgment upon themselves. So it's key. Now let's look here at another point, the source of life. As surely as the tongue can be used in a negative manner, it can also employ positively. The words of the wise are very valuable to those who they encourage to continue to a good work. Proverbs 10 and 20. And verse number 31, words of support to the despondent person are comparable to a hearty meal given to one who has been on a long deprived of food. See Proverbs 10 and 21. Those who have suffer much at the hands of evil can be lifted up with words that remind them of the grace and love of God. See Ecclesiastes 10 and 12, Ephesians 4 and 21, Colossians 4 and 6. How excellent is a good word at a proper time? A phrase properly and divinely or timely delivered can redirect eternal destiny. And so God wants to move your destiny into the place where he wants you to go, but you have to speak the word of God. The more word of God you get in you, the more you can speak your destiny and allow God's word to flow out of your mouth and flowing out life. Now, let's look here. The source of our fruit is either good or is evil. Jesus clearly declared that the people are known by their fruit. Matthew 7, verse 16 and 20. In his discussion about the tongue, James pointed out that it is impossible to produce good and evil talk from the same source. James 3, verse 16 and 12. Such an attempt will ultimately contaminate the good with the bad. Jesus proclaimed that it is out of the heart that both good and evil come. What a person produces is a function of what he is. What he says springs from what lies within their heart. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 35-37. Whether a person's words are a blessing or a curse to others, it is first determined by what he really is, or that person really is. Second, the hearers receive an individual word based on his emotional or mental condition at that time. And you can see 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 15 through 16. However, some people may deal with our words. It is our first responsibility to see that our speech edifies the hearer, Ephesians 4 and 29. And the word edify means to build up. You want to build up the hearer of the word. Yes, people may be treating you mean or bad. Then what you do? You pray for them. You pray and try to speak kind words to them. And then there may come times where you have to speak the truth to them, but speak it in the spirit of love. Speak it in love and be firm and speak it in love. So there is a way that you deal with people that are really just, you have to speak the truth in love. And remember, timing is key. You may not need to say it at that time, because you feel the atmosphere is escalating and going into an area that you don't want to go, then don't say it. That is not the time. It can wait, because you don't want days and months of verbally attacking, or you don't want that tie or separating and things because the husband and the wife was not able to come to terms. It may not matter right now. God will give you an entrance and a time to share it and to say it. Remember that. And think, always say in the back row of your mind, it's not time, but there will be a time. Amen? And God will do it in things and work it out for you and open a door entrance for you in things for you to say it. Amen? And so it is key for you to recognize and to know that it's not time. But there will be a time. And we must recognize that, because there will be a time for you to share that. Now, let's look here in our conclusion on today. The Bible seems to have more to say about the use of the tongue in the proper speech than any other topic covered in its pages. Scriptures consider both wise and foolish talk and the results of each. Often the two are compared as two or contrast with each other in the same verses or related verses. Ecclesiastes 10, chapter number 12, verse 12 through 14. In his second letter, Peter went to great length to describe those who use their influence to lead people astray from the right path. Inevitably, they use speech, even great swelling words of vanity, to draw people away from the truth. See 2 Peter 2, 9 through verse 21. So you must recognize those people that you have encouraged, those people that you talk to about the Lord. The enemy can even take and use swelling words to lead them away. So you have to be careful, even yourself, to guarding your mind because of those great swelling words. Amen? And those great swelling words can get people in trouble and cause them to lose out on God and things and the things of God. Amen? So we must be ever so careful, children of God. Now, let's look at another point here in our closing. In the opposite direction, Paul gave instruction as to the proper way to talk. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man or every person. Colossians 4 and 6. What a contrast is this between the words of the wicked and the word of the righteous. And so that's key for us, children of God, to speak those words of righteousness and watch God move profoundly in and upon your life. God will undergird you. God will fortify. God will strengthen you. God will keep you in and through and by his power divine. And so I pray that this was an enlightenment to you, that it empowered you and allow you to live victoriously in your life and your daily living as you apply these principles unto your life. Now, I hear the Holy Ghost laying it strongly upon my heart that you want to know those scriptures that we talked about. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give those scriptures out, and I want you to grab a pen as I go through this. I want to take a little longer time today with you because this is key. Speaking wise words are key, and I want to write these down and give them to you. And so with your pencil and paper, I'll wait just a few more seconds so that you can get that, because this is really key for your maturity in Christ. Now, you want to read the scripture reference that will aid in this. You want to read Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, verses 11 through verse 14. You want to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 through 73. You want to read Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 29. Colossians chapter number 4, verses number 6. And you want to read the whole book of James chapter number 3. Now, I'm going to repeat those because, again, I want you to get it. Ecclesiastes 10, verses 11 through 14, Matthew 12, verses 35 through 37, verse 73, Luke chapter number 6, verse 45, Ephesians number 4, verse number 29, Colossians verse number 4 through verse number 6, James chapter number 3. Read the whole book of James chapter number 3, whole chapter. Then also Proverbs chapter number 12, verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 4, verse 6 through 8, verse 21. Also, you want to read the other following verses as well. We talked about is about the bloodshed and wicked words. We talked about Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11 through 19, Isaiah 59, verse 7, Jeremiah 5 through 36, Micah 7, verses 1 through 2. These are the words that you want to listen to or read when it's talking about the wicked. And then how they try to trap and plot against Jesus, Mark 3 and 6, Luke 6 and 11. Also, you can look at John 7, verse 19 through 20, verse 25, John 10 and 39. Then the wicked ways of the Lord was pointing out in Genesis 49:17. Then the plot against Paul, Acts chapter 23, verse 12, verse 15, Acts 25 and 3. All of these was plots and ploys that was coming against the man of God and things. And then when we talked about the words that snares the lip, that they are snared by their lips, you can find that over in 1 Kings, verse 2 and 23, Psalms 5 and 6, Psalm 64, verse 2 and 7, Psalm 64, verse 8, Proverbs 6 and 2, Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2 is another one that you can look at. And so here we must recognize that we must use our tongue for the glory of God and for the honor of God, and God will greatly, greatly bless you as never before. So I'm so glad that you joined us on today, and I pray that you are blessed and that this word was a tremendous blessing unto you today. And I pray that you go out striving to edify, to build people up, and not only them, but to build yourself up. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's what the Bible over in Titus tell us, invite us to do and tell us to do, to pray in the Holy Ghost so we can build up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're building up your faith. Is building up, and you're giving yourself that momentum to go and do what God said for you to do. And so I want you to be blessed. I pray that your life will flourish in the things of God, because now you must practice what you have learned today by speaking that you can. You can do all things through Christ will strengthen you. You're going to constantly, when even negative stuff come in against you, return it with things that are powerful, positive, the word of God, what God is saying about you, and casting down every evil imagination, bring it into captivity and cast it down. You got to bring those thoughts into captivity. If not, those thoughts would just be controlling you. But you, every negative thought come in, you don't have to run from that thought. You don't have to deny that thought. But what you must do, and you don't have to sing over the thought, because the thought's going to keep coming back. What you want to do is take that thought into captivity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take that thought into captivity and cast it down so that it won't return anymore. Amen? So that's how we bring every thought into the obedience and things, and casting down every evil imagination. Cast it down. Amen? And then sing. And because you dealt with it as it came up against you, cast it down. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gracious, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you. And now, while we're here, I want to give an invitation. I just feel the Lord. If you have a question, what you can do at this time and things is you can type in a question if you want to on our web chat, and we can dialogue on that particular question perhaps that you may have. And things so that we can further discuss this, because I want you victorious. God wants you to be victorious. And I believe God has given you a greater understanding and saying, oh, an insight as to what perhaps you have been doing wrong or what has been happening in your life. You have to sometimes change your association and things. If they're sitting around plotting and talking negative and talking about their demise and what they don't have and talking about their lack, well, they're going to stay in that place. And you don't want to stay there, because you're heir of righteousness. And you want to be talking about your Father's kingdom and seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness. And God said, all these things are going to be added unto me. So you have to change your behavior or what you've been doing, what you've been saying, so that you can line up with what God has for you. Amen? Amen. I think you feel it. Now, if you do you have a question, please put it, type it in, and we can dialogue about what thus said the Lord and about his word. And I'm going to give a few moments. And I put up here, using words rightly and then also by seeking, using words wisely, rightly and wisely by seeking God's wisdom. That is key, by asking God for wisdom and recognizing the things that make you get upset. And that's one of the things we must recognize ourselves and begin to get attuned of ourselves and understand ourselves, and understand what makes you mad. Understand the things that you like. Understand the things that bring life to you and the things that bring hurt and pain and bitterness to you. Begin to understand those things, and God will greatly bless you because you begin to recognize, oh, that really makes me angry. And so when I find myself going in an area or hearing someone say that or do that, what will I do? What will I do in things? What boundaries will I have? Remember, we talked about the guardrail so you won't fall off the cliff and things, those measure of safety. So when you begin to get in tuned into yourself, then and begin to minister to yourself, then you're able to become more of a conqueror because you are tuned with yourself or what's making you angry. And now you can use wisdom to bypass those problematic situations that come in your life that is going to be there, those things that people are saying that they may continue to say it. But one thing for sure, you don't have to always be in their company and things like that. If they get ready to go there, you can always excuse yourself and not be there, or you can choose not to be angry and choose to pray for them up on, quietly up under your voice and things in your heart and things. Or if you have to go into a meeting with them or engage with them before you go in prayed up with the whole armor of God on and recognizing that that's just their opinion and not yours. And so once you begin to recognize that and do those things, then God will bless you. God will help you and things. But that self-awareness of changing those behaviors in and through and by the Holy Ghost, that's how you become victorious. Amen? Amen. Is there any questions that you would like for me to answer or anything you want to talk about? Otherwise, we are going to get ready to close at this particular time and pray that you will be blessed and that your life will just flourish in God and in the things of God and that you will just continue to abound in the blessings of the Lord, because truly the blessings of the Lord maketh you rich and add no sorrow. I want you to also to go back and when you get a chance and to rate the show, because that's key and important for me and things. Leave a comment and let me know how that it was a blessing. Email me or come visit the church or come out and be with us. Or preventive, you don't have a church and you need a church and you want to join our church community here on the web, you can do that. I will want you to and things to be a part of the ministry. Email me and let me know. And you can go to back to my homepage and get my email, my church email address, and email me and say, Pastor Helen, you know, I don't have a church home and I don't have a covering and I need a church. I need a pastor to cover me. I will be more than glad to and allow you to come and join us. And just give me a call and we will talk and minister to you. And God will greatly, greatly bless you. Amen. Or you may say, I already have my church home, but I would love to be a covenant prayer partner with you. Email me and let me know that, because I need and looking forward to have covenant prayer partners that God would greatly bless us. So be encouraged, be blessed. Don't you dare give up and continue on to doing the work and the will of the Lord as never before. Truly, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle and your blessing. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. Go back, ask again. Go back and seek once more, and knock again, and watch God do it on your behalf. May God bless you is my prayer. Continue to hold fast and hold strong. Don't you dare come down. And don't you dare back up, and don't you dare give up. God is on your side and have your back. May God bless you. It's my prayer. Bye-bye.